So Jesus begins the prophetic portion of his ministry precisely where he knows the rejection will be most palpable. We know as we continue to read in this passage, we didn't hear it today, but we know that he is rejected by his own. The church continues today with this prophetic ministry of Christ. And so the church should not fear being rejected. One area of this prophetic ministry is in our proclamation of the gospel of life. Our proclamation that every human life, at every stage of development, has immeasurable dignity and is worthy of being protected, cherished, and cared for. This message is rejected by many powerful voices in our culture, particularly when it comes to the ends of the spectrum of human development, the unborn and the terminally ill. This word of truth is rejected even by many within the body of Christ, within the church. A striking example of that happened this week when members of Catholics for Choice projected pro-choice messages on the facade of the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., precisely while a prayer service for an end to abortion was taking place inside the church during the March for Life, which coincides with yesterday's grim anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. The fact that many Catholics allow their worldview and moral compass to be shaped by the secular world or by their political allegiances rather than by the light of faith and reason upheld by the church is, in my view, all the more reason for the church to take this prophetic mission seriously. May the Spirit of the Lord and His anointing help us in our task of upholding the dignity of life. May it lead us to new ways to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. Pope Francis has often reminded us who the poor are. The poor are those whom our society sees as unwanted, set aside, marginalized, ignored. Often in her pro-life efforts, the church is accused of talking the talk but not walking the walk. Are we really there, for example, for women who find themselves in crisis pregnancies, there for their partners? These mothers and fathers are among the poor, to whom glad tidings should be brought by the church, hope. They should be surrounded by love and care and support. To that end, the U.S. bishops initiated about 2 years ago a project to equip Catholic parishes to be this network of care and support. It's called Walking with Moms in Need. If you would like to make a commitment to being there for the members of our community who find themselves in crisis pregnancies, I'd love to hear from you. Let's do more for those who really need our care the most, proclaiming glad tidings to the poor. At times, people accuse the church of vilifying women who have had abortions. Now, I haven't heard every homily in every church. I haven't been present in every confessional. I haven't been part of every conversation in Catholic homes. But my experience has been rather different. The concern of our Lord is to love and heal and save human hearts. That should be the church's concern as well. And that's what I have seen, that compassion and a desire for the well-being of those who have been involved in abortion. In the case of post-abortive men and women, it seems to me that the church has been on the forefront of acknowledging the very real trauma and psychological harm that can come from abortion and compassionately offering healing and hope and forgiveness, particularly through the Project Rachel Ministry and Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. An unavoidable fact of life is that our choices have consequences. And only if we're willing to help people through the process of restoration can we say that we've shown true compassion for them. So may the Church grow in her efforts to free men and women from any oppression that clings to their souls after abortion, bringing true healing, forgiveness, and freedom. May the Church be ever committed to helping people discover the power of the mercy and the healing of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the body is one, though it has many parts. So also the body of Christ. And when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. So also in the body of Christ. So when some vulnerable members are not defended from harm, it seems to me that we're bringing this suffering upon our own selves. On the other hand, the more generous we are in helping those on the margins, the more we see the face of Christ in them, the more spiritual vitality the whole body of Christ will experience. And the more spiritual vitality we display, the more the logic of why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do will shine forth for the world. Those blinded by ignorance will recover their sight and see the truth of our beautiful Catholic faith. Speaking of spiritual vitality makes me think of the missionaries of charity. Many of you know that I had the great privilege to serve alongside the missionaries of charity in Ethiopia for a month in 2017. These sisters there had taken in orphans of HIV. So their parents had died of HIV. They have HIV from their birth. And when the sisters took these little ones in, they had a death sentence. They were not expected to live more than a few years. But because of new medicines, these children have grown and live a relatively healthy life. You wouldn't know from seeing them that they have anything wrong or any different than any other teenager. Sisters have also taken in 120 disabled children, some who are abandoned by their families because of fear or stigma, others who were entrusted to the sisters because the families knew they had a lack of resources to care for these children. Each child under the care of the sisters has their unique capacities. Each child poses unique challenges for their care. Each child, however disfigured their body, however troublesome their behaviors, however dire their ailments, is equal in dignity to you and to me. And it's beautiful to be in the presence of these sisters, to know that each child is loved by them. For them, each child is a reflection of Christ. I sometimes think, if I had the gall to ask one of the sisters, well, which of these children do you regret having taken into your care? What would they say? I just hope they wouldn't have something in their hand to hit me with, because it'd be total lunacy for them to even think that any of these children was unworthy of their love, their attention, their care. And the love that the sisters have for these children is but a fraction of the love and dignity with which God sees these adopted children of His. This love is what brings true freedom to the soul. However much the world wants to keep these children captive or out of sight or consider them less than human, by the love that they receive, they have been liberated. And the fact that they are loved reminds us of their dignity and removes any doubt about their inherent worth. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm not going to waste my breath complaining about what Catholics for Choice did. I want to ask God for a fresh anointing here a new outpouring of the Spirit, so that we can bring glad tidings to the poor, that we can proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed, so that we here at Good Shepherd Parish could be a church that loves life with even a fraction of the passion with which Jesus loves life.